O Holy Spirit, you are welcome here as we prepare to hear the words of life. May our hearts and minds be open to your transforming work within our life and in the life of our church. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament reading comes from Genesis in chapter 25, verses 19 to 34. As we have followed the early church in the book of Acts, we have also followed Abraham and his family through the book of Genesis. And this is the story of the birth and youth of Esau and Jacob. Let us listen to the words of our Lord. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padam Aram, sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is to be this way, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger." When Rebekah's time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy mantle, and so they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, with his hand gripping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished." Therefore he was called Edom. Jacob said, "First sell me your birthright." And Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." And so Esau swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. This ends the reading of the Lord's word. Our New Testament scripture reading continues in the book of Acts this week in chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Today's reading is what you might consider a troubling story about two of Christ's disciples, Ananias and Sapphira. Let us listen to the life-giving words of our Lord. But a man named Ananias, with the consent of his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. With his wife's knowledge, Ananias kept back some of the proceeds and brought only a part and laid it at the apostles' feet. "Ananias," Peter asked, "why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, were not the proceeds at your disposal? How is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You did not lie to us, but to God." Now when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard of it. The young men came and wrapped up his body, then carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you and your husband sold the land for such and such a price." And Sapphira said, "Yes, that was the price." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and died. When the young men came in, they found her dead, so they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard of these things. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I think today's Bible passage from Acts is really difficult to hear. Of course, both passages might be a little difficult to hear. Thanks. What makes this story difficult is the harshness of the situation. Imagine a preacher, maybe me, choosing this passage for a sermon on the importance of stewardship. Give everything or die doesn't exactly create a spirit of generosity in the heart of the congregation. But on the other hand, I don't think that it is a passage we should ignore or skip while reading the Bible. As difficult as it is to read this story about two faithful believers that are struck dead after just making one mistake, there are still lessons we can take away from this story that help us shape our lives towards spirit living. But let's begin for a moment remembering some of the attributes of the early church. From what Luke writes in this book, we know that there were a multitude of believers. In fact, people were added to this group of believers each and every day. And this group seemed to have one heart and mind. We're told through Scripture that they shared everything with one another, that no one lacked for anything because they took care of each other. What a beautiful vision of the family of God. We know that they loved one another deeply. The church community was clearly thriving, and God was adding new people to its numbers daily. All the signs of a successful church, some might say. And yet, this story shows us that God's people did not always live in harmony or live with a desire to do what was best for the community. Sometimes personal desire got in the way of what was best for others. When Ananias and Sapphira sold some of their property and decided together to keep some of the proceeds before presenting the rest of the money to the community, it doesn't seem like a big deal. So what if they take part of the proceeds? I mean, they own the land. It seems like such a minor mistake in the grand scheme of life. Who wouldn't keep some of those proceeds to take care of themselves? And yet, I think the big deal is the deceit that they embraced. Whether out of greed or fear, they decide to keep part of the proceeds rather than give it all to the community and let the community decide what should be done with it. Suddenly, what worked well for the community was disturbed by Ananias and Sapphira's desire to trust themselves over trusting God and trusting what had worked for the community for such a long time. Their desire to be big deals in their community overshadowed the vision of community Christ shared with the believers, the vision of community that the people had embraced and practiced. Their deceit was more than lying to Peter and the community of faith. It was considered to be a direct affront against God. And in the first century context, offending God was considered heinous. It reminds us, even if we would like to ignore it, that our individual actions affect our church community. That our individual actions affect our church community and can at times certainly affect our relationship with God. There are times where our actions or our choices have a way of negatively and positively affecting our church family because we are intertwined as believers in Jesus Christ. And if we live together in community, we must be aware of how our actions and attitudes begin to affect our lives together, our integrity, affects each other. Now, I'm not so sure all our actions will result in the dramatic consequences given to Ananias and Sapphira. Honestly, there are no easy answers to explain to you why they were struck dead. We do not clearly understand in this circumstance and other circumstances why God chose for them to immediately die. And we might never figure that one out. But if we are to be a relevant church in this world, we must choose to wrestle with hard issues honestly and to help each other do likewise. The hardest issue in this passage is that our integrity or lack thereof may have a direct connection to the health of our church community or whatever community we find ourselves a part of. What ultimately led Ananias and Sapphira's demise was that they sold a piece of property and deceitfully kept back some of the proceeds from the sale. The reading indicates that keeping back property was not the way of this community. Money was collected and then shared equally for the benefit of the whole community. They both wanted the people around them to think that they had given all of their profits for the greater good. Their desire was to be big deals in their community, and they decided to do what they had to do to present themselves in good light. I think that fear came over Ananias and Sapphira, a fear of the inability to care for themselves, a fear that God or the community they were a part of would forget their needs or maybe ignore them completely. And their fears led them to make a decision that was deceitful. One costly decision, one deadly cost. Well, day to day, the decisions that you or I make aren't quite the same in terms of drama. They don't quite have the same dramatic impact on our lives. But this story also reminds us that even our little decisions have impact when we live in community. We make decisions about our faith every day that don't seem to have eternal consequences. But what if they really do? What if even our small decisions that favor ourselves rather than those around us slowly crack the foundation of a community that we are a part of? Will we then try to make decisions that were more honorable, life-giving, and honest? It makes me think about the current dilemma around us, and quite honestly, a dilemma that at times I get tired of talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? To mask or not to mask is the question. And haven't we seen or heard and read a variety of opinions on that particular subject? All sorts of angles to approach the question that surround themes of politics and Christian love and individual rights, patriotism, and loving others. States, including Pennsylvania, are determining who should be masked for the time being, and not everyone likes it. To mask or not to mask is a question we have to ask and answer individually. But what we can learn from our Bible story is that sometimes our decisions can affect the greater community. Now, that is not to imply that I think everyone should not mask or mask, but it's interesting to think of that decision or that question in light of the impact that it can have on others other than ourselves. What we know from this passage is that Ananias and Sapphira's decision not only negatively affected them, but it created unnecessary fear throughout the church community. In fact, great fear seized the entire church when they heard what happened to Ananias and his wife. Their one decision completely turned around the environment of their community. Where the believers were once of one mind, filled with love, helping one another, and focusing on God, their focus turns to fear and, in all likelihood, worry over their current situation. Not the kind of community that Jesus taught or modeled. This is a story that helps us realize the impact that our attitude and decisions have upon the life of our community, in this church and beyond. Our decisions are not inconsequential or unmeaningful, but they have real influence upon the life of the community. And the challenge with the masking question is that there are valid points being made on both sides of this issue. There are people right in this very room who have had varied opinions on the purpose and necessity of the use of a mask. There are people living in the same household who have varied opinions on whether to mask or not. And yet, here we are, worshiping together in the sanctuary and in our Zoom online. We are sitting together physically and in spirit because we genuinely enjoy being a part of this church family, despite whether or not we agree with that question or agree to the answer of that question. We are or will then have to learn to live in community with both masked and unmasked people. And the challenge then is how we will do this well. Well, we can't read this story and not think about Peter's role. As a leader of the church, he was in a precarious position. Likely, he was close friends with Ananias and Sapphira. He learned that the two of them were deceiving the church at the expense of still wanting to look holy and honorable. It would have been easy for Peter to just look the other way. Maybe find a way to justify their deceitfulness by remembering all the other times that they had given generously. But as the Spirit moved in Peter's heart and mind, he knew he had to confront Ananias and ask why he was not only deceiving the people around him, but also God. Peter spoke the truth in love, and still, Ananias and Sapphira did not confess their sin. And as difficult as it was, I'm sure, for Peter to confront his friends, he knew the importance of teaching them the consequences of selfish action. Not that he thought it would end in death. The reality we don't always acknowledge is that some of our choices do have life and death consequences, even ones that seem so minor in the grand scheme of life. Living in community together requires us to hold one another accountable, not in a manner to demean or embarrass another person, but to enlighten and encourage one another to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God guides our decision to speak the truth in love and will help us to find the words to help another. It's a hard situation to be in, whether we are the one expressing concern to another or we are being confronted by someone concerned about our own behaviors and choices. But isn't that what family does for one another? We love each other and we desire one another to be in greater relationship with God and one another. Ultimately, whether we are honest with one another, God knows the conditions of all of our hearts. And the most difficult part of this story is Ananias and Sapphira's death, which there really isn't any way to make it easier to read. Their deaths remind us of the abrupt justice God expressed through the Old Testament. Death with no understanding is one of the worst deaths to experience. We trust in God's providential care and love for God's children, even Ananias and Sapphira. And when we can't explain what happens in the Bible stories we read, we remember what we do know. We know that God loves all his children, even when we make mistakes. Today's story offers us an opportunity to pause and evaluate the way in which we live our lives with one another and the greater community around us. What are we learning through this pandemic that might help us be faithful, loving disciples of Jesus Christ? Do we live out a desire to be big deals by drawing attention to an inauthentic life, selfish living, or irrational thoughts? Or do we value honoring God above ourselves, even if we don't get the attention or the praise that we desire, even when following God becomes too uncomfortable? Oh, maybe the question to mask or not to mask isn't solved with one answer. Maybe it's solved with us determining our answer and then learning to live with those who have a different answer. Alleluia. Amen.